Are you a rural farming woman, wife or mother, struggling to find peace in your busy life? Do you find yourself trying to squeeze joy out of your daily routine, manage stress that seems never-ending, and somehow reconnect with your passions in the midst of it all? Do you love your rural life, yet often feel overwhelmed by the challenges it brings? Welcome to Cultivate Contentment, the podcast designed just for you. I'm Jessica Knight, a fellow rural woman, wife and mother, and I get it. I've been there. Right there in the trenches, juggling the demands of farm life, motherhood, and carving out moments to take care of myself. Come along with me and my guests as we explore balancing farm life with personal needs on a realistic level. Practical ways to sprinkle a little joy and peace into your daily routine, nurturing relationships without losing your sense of self, and how to keep stress at bay and prevent burnout, all while staying focused on what we really want, feeling content and settled in our lives. So whether you're savoring a cup of coffee before the morning chaos begins, stealing a moment of quiet on your drive to town, or popping in your earbuds while wrestling with laundry and dishes, I invite you to join me. Let's laugh, learn, and cultivate contentment together. Hey there. Welcome back to Cultivate Contentment. This is Jess as always, and today we're diving into spring on the farm. It has been a week here, folks, with the weather. It has been intense. We've had 4 or 5 days of wind with gusts up to 100 kilometres an hour. We're talking lots of trees down, power outages, schools closed, which the kids thought was great. They got 2 days at home because their school seemed to be one of the last ones where the power got fixed. So 2 days, they were loving it. Me, on the other hand, trying to get stuff done still, but we are coming into spring and I can tell you that I'm really excited for the weather, for the warmer, nicer weather, because over here we are still getting our butts kicked by these winter bugs going around. I've got another kid home on the couch today. He's got some antibiotics. They did some nice swabs, sent him off. We'll get some results in the next couple of days. Hopefully it's nothing too nasty and the antibiotics he's on will fix things. But I can tell you, we are over it, folks. It has been never ending this season. So bring on some nice spring sunshine. I thought that at the start of each season, I will do a farm update. So if you're not into the farm side of things, jump to the next episode. Won't be offended. But for those farming ladies, and I think there's quite a few of you listening because that's the main premise of the show is farm wives and rural women in ag. So I thought I'd give you a farm update of what will be happening for spring on our farm. As this goes to air, it's the second week of spring. That means a lot of changes on the farm. So we're going to chat about weather, animals, crops. There's always something new happening on the farm, and I can't wait to share all of the things that are happening as we enter this new season. So grab a cup of tea or coffee, get comfy, put your earbuds in if you're doing a job, and let's get started. Before we jump into today's episode, I'd love to remind you that if you're enjoying these chats, make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss any updates from the farm. And if something resonates with you today, feel free to share it with a friend who might enjoy it too. So let's talk about the weather first, because farmers love to talk about the weather. Spring. It's the time of year where everything just starts to feel a little bit brighter. We are coming out of the cold of winter and that sunshine feels glorious. Now, an interesting fact that I learned this week is that not all countries start their seasons on the first day of the month. So in Australia, all of our seasons start on the first of a month. So spring starts 1st of September. The concept that in other countries it starts on, I don't know, the 14th or the 21st, I found some varying dates when I did some research. That's just really confusing to me because how do you remember that? It's like, yep, middle of the month, this day, it's the start of a new season. I find it much more practical to start on the first day of the month, though I know it's all to do with the sun and the equinox and everything like that. So the forecast for us, though in saying it's just a forecast, finding that weather forecasts are very unpredictable these days, the likelihood of them actually coming true is sometimes very slim. But the forecast for us is a wet spring. which will be really welcome after a dry start to winter for us. We had a bit of rain at the end, but then we've had all this wind, which has just dried things up. We got a little bit wet in the middle, dried out, looking for some rain now. How does this impact the farm? If we don't get some rain in the next 10 days, then we'll have to start irrigating, which is maybe a little bit earlier than we'd usually start irrigating. But if the rain comes, we'll be able to hold off until sort of mid-spring at the earliest. We have some rain forecast towards the end of the week, but we've also got some warm days too. Like I think Friday, it's meant to be 28 degrees, which is warm for spring here. The weather always just plays a part and each season's different. You've got to take it as it comes, plan as you can. And across different parts of the country, it can be so varied. But for us, it's looking pretty good at the moment. We've got a fair bit of grass ahead of the cows. And once we start irrigating, we'll get that growth. We're really lucky to be in an irrigated area where we have that option because we do have some dry land parts of our farm as well. And the difference between the dry land and the irrigated in these drier seasons is really noticeable. From weather, we go to crops. We are looking at doing first cut of silage this weekend, again, weather permitting. Our aim for silage is that we can store 500 tons of dry matter from our support blocks and the milking platform that is excess to cow needs. So it's really important when we're making silage that we're not having to feed out silage or extra grain to the cows because we're taking that grass out of their diet. Any silage that we make on our farm is in excess to what the cows need to graze each day. So 500 tons of dry matter put away for the next 12 months to feed to the cows over summer when we don't have as much grass and then into the winter as well. We've taken on a new lease block and we have planted oats and peas on there. It's irrigated by a center pivot. So we're expecting it to be ready to harvest first to second week of November. And we're aiming for 6 tons to a hectare yield, which will be put into a silage stack or a silage bunker, depending on where you are in the world, what terminology you use. Basically, for us, we make a really big pile of grass and then it gets rolled and flattened and everything to try and get as much air out of it and get it as condensed as possible. And then we put like a big sheet over the top. We've got different materials we use. There's a few layers that go over and it gets all shut off so that no air can get to it. And then it is saved to be used at a later date. And if it's done properly, then it doesn't go moldy or rotten or anything like that. And we can feed it out at whatever point we need to. Young stock will be grazing areas of the lease block that are not irrigated. So they'll be just clearing up those areas that we aren't using for silage. And then once the oats are off, they'll be replanted with millet for the young stock to graze over the summer. Our young stock, we run 4 different groups because we split calves. So we calve twice a year and then those groups will be kept like that until they come into the milking herd. Talking about animals, we have finished calving except for a few later embryo cows that are fancy stud show cows, not our usual area that we work on here. We run a 3-way cross on ours. So we have Holsteins, Jerseys, and Reds all mixed together. And our breeding approach is to mix those 3 breeds together to breed a versatile cow that requires less feed to make the same amount of milk. So we've got these fancy show cows that our assistant manager is doing because that's her background and it's a really interesting area to get into. The world of show cows is unlike any other and it's been so fun to learn about them and start going to shows and see all that's involved in that side of farming. So finished calving, we have a shed full of calves. There is about 100 in the shed at the moment, maybe a few less than that. But our calves are kept in the shed. We are keeping them in until weaning this year. They're usually weaned between 10 and 12 weeks, and we used to put them out into the paddock at around 8 weeks. This year, just with this unpredictable weather, we've kept them in the shed because we have the space to do so. They'll be weaned off milk when they're eating around a kilo of grain a day, and then they'll be moved out to a paddock. They'll graze the grass and they'll get grain and silage and hay depending on how much feed there is throughout the summer. So we built the new calf shed last year, and it's been an absolute game changer for this, because before we had this new shed, we didn't have enough space in the shedding that we had. So they had to go out in the paddock around 2 to 3 weeks old, and then they get fed off a trailing feeder. But what we saw was that they would go out, and the weather being the way it is, it would get these gusts of winds, we get rain, and they just get really sick, and they didn't thrive as well as they should. So we're keeping them in the shed, which comes with its own challenges, keeping the sheds clean, keeping their water clean, because clean water for calves is so important, keeping their bedding nice. We found that we use sawdust in our shed, and it's lasting for the 10 to 12 weeks that they're in the shed. We don't have to clean it. We do put out a product called Stellison, which just helps adjust the pH level in the bedding, and we find that's enough to keep it nice and clean for the entire time that they're in there. So they will be weighed and vaccinated at around 6 weeks. They get a 7-in-1 vaccination, which is used to prevent common types of leptospirosis, which does affect cattle, as well as prevent major life-threatening clostridial diseases that can commonly occur in cattle. So they will get weighed and vaccinated at 6 weeks, and then the same thing will happen again before they get completely weaned and put out in the paddock. And at this point, when they're put out in the paddock, they'll also get drenched for fluke and worms. I love being able to track their weight. It's something we've been doing for the last 18 months. And being able to track their weight individually and as a group has really changed the way that we look at rearing our calves. And this year, we've made some changes to the system, tweaked a few things, and it's going to be really interesting to compare them to last year's calves and see the difference between the weight gained at certain ages. So this is something that really interests me, and it's really exciting to be able to keep track of. In the dairy, we are at peak production at the moment as we've just calved. So when the cows come in from calving, this is when they really ramp up their production. And they stay at this level of production until they're close to calving again, when production will start to decrease in the lead up to them being dried off and having a break before calving again. We are a split calving herd, so we calve in autumn and spring. This gives us a little flexibility because if a cow doesn't get pregnant, we have the option of milking her through to the next joining period, and then she'll just join the other season calving group. We currently have 560 cows in the dairy. We have a 8 to 12 week break now where we're just milking and doing all the daily things, and then we'll start joining again. So the ones that have just calved will then go back into the breeding program. We do a 5 week AI breeding program twice a year. In spring, there's a lot of stock work. So all of the young stock will be drenched in this period. There's the multiple groups to do, and it's just about keeping an eye on them. Coming towards the end of spring, and the warmer weather, you've got to be looking for sort of any illnesses, like flies can really cause issues, pink eye, and anything like that that can really affect them going into those warmer summer months. So there's a lot of animal health maintenance and checks done during spring. Projects. There are always projects going on our farm. So the main one at the moment is that we have taken on new lease property. This means refencing, as it was being used for beef cows. They just sort of graze large areas, whereas dairy cows, smaller areas, because we do strip fences each day, and it needs to be suitable for young stock as well. So we've got smaller animals going up there. There wasn't enough wires in the fences. They could get under them, run wherever they liked. So our team have been doing a lot of fencing. We've got more pipe and risers going in on a section of our property that joins up to the new lease block. Pipe and risers are a form of irrigation that we use a lot on our farm. the polypipe runs underground, and then you have this pipe and riser outlet that's attached above ground. And they open just by turning a little handle, and it raises up, letting the water out, and then they go back down to close them off. We automate these so that you can run it from either the computer or your phone, and you just tap the button and they'll open and close when you tell them to. You can even set a timer that says, close this outlet at this time and then open the next one. Really handy. Where the pipe is going, it was previously an open channel irrigation. So we'll be putting all the dirt over the pipe and be filled in, and we can then turn this into a track for the cows to access the lease property next door to us from our place. It's really handy. It's sort of doing two things in one job. So this was just a quick episode to give you a spring update. We've covered a lot. We've talked about spring forecast, irrigation plans, calves, the steps we're going to take them healthy into the next season, what's happening with crops, new lease block, ongoing projects. Farming's always unpredictable, but I think that's why a lot of us love it, facing the challenges and come away with a feeling of achievement. Spring, there is just so much happening with calves and silage and projects, but it's fun. It's exciting. Thanks for hanging out with me today and learning a little bit about what's happening on our farm for spring. If you're a farmer and you'd like to chat with me for the season update next, I'd love to have you as a guest on the show. So we'll be doing a summer update. If you think that there's some exciting things happening on your farm, or you'd just like to share what your summer looks like, because I think there's farms out there that would be very different to mine over the summer, please reach out to me at Grounded Farm Wife or shoot me an email. I would love to talk about what's happening on your farm. Until next time, keep cultivating contentment in the everyday moments. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Cultivate Contentment. I hope you found inspiration and practical tips to help you on your journey towards a more contented life. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing or following the podcast on your favorite platform. And don't forget to leave a review to let me know your thoughts. For more content and community support, be sure to follow on Instagram at Grounded Farm Wife. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. Together, we can continue to cultivate contentment in our lives. Until next time, take care and stay grounded.